Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, last week we had an opportunity to sit down with Little Wolf and Two Plates. And so this week what I wanted to do is just do another follow-up and sit down with Two Plates. That's his biker name, right? But his name is actually Steve. So we're going to sit down and have a conversation. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to have a good attitude, right? In the world that seems to just be going to, well, for lack of a better term, hell in a handbasket. We wanted to talk a little bit about how do you keep a good attitude? What do you do? Steve, welcome back.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Rick. Looking forward to our conversation today.
So what would you, with everything that's going on in the world, how do you keep a good attitude today?
I think it takes practice.
Yeah.
It's not something that just happens to me. I have to get up in the morning. First thing I have to do is pray. I have to thank God for giving me the day. And then I have to get into scripture a little bit. And one of the things I do is I share a daily scripture on Facebook. And I usually have to go to three or four different places and see what touches my heart. And hopefully it'll touch the hearts of others. And that kind of gets my day started. And then from there, it's trying to be a positive light in somebody else's life. You know, fertilizer hits the air conditioner.
A lot.
And in my life, it hits. And sometimes somebody else has to remind me that it's going to be okay. But I have to have that communication going.
It's hard, though. It's hard. You know, I think about just even... You know, I think about my life and the struggles that we go through.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have talked a lot about it. I generally have an okay attitude, but I struggle with anger a lot. And there's a lot of times that those little things trip me up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just don't know how to deal with it.
Well, this morning, I was hoping that things were going to go well with a remodel I'm doing, and I didn't get good news on some things. And I've tried to use the phrase, it is what it is, in my life today. Because outside of me, I can't control anything. I don't have the control or the fix-it ability for a lot of things outside of me. Which I used to try and do all the time in the past. I'm going to make this different. Yeah. I'm going to change this. And I just can't.
I feel like for me, while I want to fix it, I can't even fix myself. I got to rely on God.
Right.
So how can I fix somebody else?
Yeah.
You know,
we got to go back to what we talked a little about last week. The three words. I can't.
Yep.
He can.
Yep.
I think I'll let him.
Right? What did Little Wolf say Sunday after service? Get out of the boat.
Get out of the boat.
And for those that don't know what we're talking about, we had our Bikers for Christ National Rally last weekend in Nashville. And there was a woman from Louisville that got up and did a devotion. And she read scripture about how, you know, the disciples went in the boat and Jesus came to them walking on water and they were all afraid and Peter got out of the boat. And she was saying, you know, 12 disciples and one got out of the boat. It's time to get out of the boat. But it's scary out of the boat.
Well, and again, we get to fear.
Yeah.
You know, when you talked about your anger is fear turned inside out.
It is.
And you and I have talked about that 100 times. And we try and disguise it in so many different ways. You know, I can't do this because. It won't work for me because.
Right.
We disguise fear by having excuses for not doing things. You and Little Wolf made that very clear to me last week.
You're right. We do disguise fear with whatever we can disguise it with, not just anger, right? Just
right.
However we can hide it, we're going to hide.
Right.
And, you know, for those of you that probably don't know, if you know Two Plates, you know that he's got this just amazing heart and drive to help people that are in recovery. And I think when people are in recovery, this becomes harder, right? Because the world, the, you know, living in the world can bring you down.
Yeah.
And so how do you deal with that on top of trying to maintain your sobriety?
I want to give you a little example of a buddy of mine who is going on a nature weekend.
Okay.
They're going to be camping out. He's really looking forward to it.
I think he's crazy because they're camping, but...
Yeah.
I mean, are they camping in an RV or are they tents? Well, they're just crazy.
I agree with that. But he's really looking forward to the campfire and the sharing and the singing and the guitars and that. And he plays the guitar, but he doesn't play... In his mind, he doesn't play that well.
Okay.
So I asked him if he was taking his guitar with him. He says, yeah, I'm probably not going to take my guitar. So why not? So you enjoy playing guitar? Well, I said, well, tell me, there's a string broken. Oh, you probably can't play good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably... You're not going to know the songs they're going to want to play.
Right.
So how many excuses are you going to come up with because of your fear of feeling inadequate at what you're going to be doing?
Are you talking about me? Because you know I got several guitars around the house. I'm not tent camping. I get what you're saying though, right? Because I'm the same way. Right?
We do it with everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm not going to go to that party or I'm not going to go to that event because.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can't.
Yeah. Our insecurities prevent us from trying a lot of new things. And we talked about that last week. Yeah. What if I want to talk to somebody about changing my life to being positive?
That's a choice.
It's a choice I have to make, but everybody will look at me and say, oh, in this world, you're going to really tell me something positive that's going on.
Yeah.
And you're afraid you're not going to be able to come up with something. So you just go with the flow.
So what would you say today if somebody said, tell me something positive?
I'm alive. I get to hear the trees. I get to hear the birds singing. I get to enjoy the sunshine. You know, for me... If I'm able to get out of bed, stand upright, and be able to function in this world today, I feel totally blessed.
Yeah.
Anything good that happens after that's a true blessing.
Yeah.
And I have to, instead of embracing what I can find wrong with life, I have to embrace what I find good with life. And all the little things I found wrong, there's twice as many that I can find that are good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's sometimes a little harder to look for those because it's going against the grain sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I think not only is it going against the grain, you got this whole society today of a generation, I guess is the best term, right? The younger generation that... they just expect everything for nothing. They expect it to be good. And I don't know how generally to deal with that, right? Because of a lack of accountability and the choices that people make, we're where we are today in society. And they want less accountability, right? How do we give them less? How do we make them less accountable and expect them to, you know... Do the right thing.
Before I had my walk with the Bible and my journey with my relationship with Christ, I didn't know how to do these things.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was all alone.
Yeah.
But since I've gotten into the Word, it's a guidebook for life.
Yeah. I hate to admit this, but I was alone. Right? I mean, yeah, I had my wife and I had my kids and I had a lot of things, but in my core, I was alone before I came to Christ.
Yeah. I lived in a black hole.
Yeah, me too.
And it was a horrible place to be because I could be around 50 people, but I was alone.
Right.
Because I didn't feel like they did. I didn't think like they did.
That's right.
Everything was all about me.
Yeah. So how would you, like I said, you deal with the recovery people a lot. What do you tell them? How do they, because you can't be like, hey, you should just go do this, right? But you got to be an example.
Yes.
You know, there's scripture that is Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
And I have used that in the recovery community. But in the beginning, a lot of the guys in recovery don't have that relationship with God. So we have to take a different approach with them.
Okay.
And we work on the steps.
Yeah.
The steps in recovery.
Yeah.
You know, the first step tells us that, you know, we are powerless over pick a drug.
Whatever it is.
It could be food, it could be sex,
that's right.
It could be anything. And when we do this, our life becomes unmanageable.
That's right.
The second step, which is I can't. The second step says, came to believe that a power outside of myself, it doesn't say what power at this point, could restore me to sanity.
Mm.
So when we think about that, it tells us we have a problem with our thinking.
Yeah, we do.
And that never goes away, but that's the practice part.
Yeah.
And then the third step, and by the way, the first step is I can't. Second step is a power outside of myself can restore me to sanity. So that's he can.
Yeah.
The third step says we became willing to, we made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the Garrett God as we understood him. So that's, I think I'll let him. And when we turn it over, one of the things that we turn over is, come to me, all you who are weary, I will give you rest.
Yeah.
God is waiting for us. He's never left us. See, we all have this fallacy that God left us because we don't feel his presence. It's not that he's not there. It's that we're not there.
Yeah.
We left him.
That's right. We talked about that last
week. We turned
week.
Our back yeah. on him.
Yeah.
And he's like a father waiting for me to come home.
Praise God.
Yes.
He waits, right?
And he's got a completely unconditional love. I don't care what you did. Come back to me.
That's right.
I'm here. Take my hand, and I will help you.
Absolutely.
And that is the first three steps of a recovery program. They take no work. They just take a decision.
You know, you and I have talked about this before, how, you know, as men, we think we know better.
Right? Absolutely.
You know, the Bible says, the Bible says, cast your burdens, right? But we're like fishermen, right? We're fishing. Well, you haven't dealt with my burdens in enough time. Let me just reel those back in.
Well, I think it goes further than that.
Yeah.
It goes further because it's back to when we're kids.
Right.
Whatever happens in this house stays in this house.
That's right.
Men don't cry.
Right.
You made your bed, sleep in it.
Yeah.
I mean, just those three little comments took a toll on me.
Yeah. You know, the one that those, I heard those comments too, but you're as dumb as a box of rocks. Right? You know, everybody heard it, for at least from our generation, right?
If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any.
That's right. That's right.
we can run the list for to ad nauseum.
Right. Right. So how would you explain to people the rest you've got, right? Because it says, come to me all who are burdened and I will give you rest. What does that rest look like for you?
What it looked like for me in the beginning was not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it was, God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to let you handle it. And then 5 minutes later, it was, I think you're in Iraq today. I got to fix this.
Right.
Because I don't have time to wait, and I know you're busy.
Yeah.
So I take it back. Or, well, this isn't a big thing, so, you know, I can't ask God for that.
You got other things to deal with, God.
But God doesn't say pray about the big things. He said pray about everything.
That's right. That's right.
And so, for me, it was like, okay, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer 500 times a day. I'm going to say the Serenity Prayer 100 times a day. Because I didn't understand what praying was. And to me, that was a big learning process.
Yeah.
How do I talk to God? I gotta have this hallelujah prayer going that's, you know, all these fancy words and everything.
Yeah.
And all it was please help me.
Yeah. You know, I've talked a lot on other podcasts about growing up in Utah and you know, how at that time a large percentage was Mormon, right? And to me, growing up, prayer was you're on your knees, arms folded, head bowed, and it was there was a way that you did it, how you had to look when you did it. And I wasn't Mormon, but that was what was emulated through friends and people that I knew. And so when somebody was like, no, you just talk to God, that's prayer. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, just talk to God? Well, I need a bed to kneel at. Right? I gotta fold my arm. I can't talk to God while I'm driving down the road. But you really can, because he's your father. Yeah. And it'd be just like your father sitting in the truck with you or the car and you being able to have a conversation. That was a new concept for me when I came to Christ.
Yeah, it was a very new concept for me. To turn something over to God.
Yeah.
And let it go was very difficult.
Yeah, it's hard.
When my son was in the process of going through his addiction.
Yeah.
And so
what you're saying when your son?
Yeah, when my son was going through his addiction, I was trying to figure out how to fix him. I couldn't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even talk to me. He avoided me like the plague. And I certainly understand that, because I did the same thing to people when I was in the throes of my addiction.
Why do you do the why do you avoid? I know why I avoided, right? When I'm angry or the different things. Why do you think that was?
Because I didn't want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that I had a problem.
Yeah.
I already knew I did, but I didn't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
So I had to turn it over to God. I prayed to God, please help my son. Today my son is clean. He's been clean for like 3 years, almost four.
Praise God.
Yeah, absolutely. And he called me when he was clean to tell me he was clean.
Mm.
He said, for some reason, I just knew one day it was over. I couldn't do this anymore. I said, thank you, God.
Right, right. And we hear that story a lot for people. Right?
Yeah, I just knew one day. He still has a trouble with God.
Yeah, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think that we all have our own walk.
Yeah.
You know, I had trouble with God for a long time. And nobody could tell me otherwise. I don't need to hear your story.
Yeah, I think something for another podcast at some other time might be, you know, why does God let this stuff happen to me?
Yeah.
You know, where was God when I was having these problems?
Right.
You know, and I hear a lot of that in the recovery community. Yeah. And so at another time, I think that we need to really have a conversation about that, because I think that's a whole separate topic.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And we could probably talk for hours about it.
Yes.
You know, because you and I have been to several meetings, right? And,
yes.
And heard numerous, countless people talk about, well, why'd God let this happen to me?
Yeah. The only thing I will say about it is if God wasn't with me when I was going through all that, I'd be dead. We wouldn't be having this podcast.
I agree. I think I can agree with that, and I think there's several other people who could as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? God has seen me through so many things, and he has been there for me as my keeper, as my guide, as my protector. He knows what I need without me having to be specific about what I need.
Yeah. So we started this talking about how do you keep a good attitude? How do you keep a good attitude when all, you know, when you look at not just everything that's going on in the world, but life may just throw you a wrench too.
Yep, it does. You know? My wife almost died.
Yeah.
So how do you? I said, God, help my wife to find comfort and peace. Whatever your will is, let it be done. And I had to turn it over and let it go with him. And I knew no matter what happened, it was going to be okay. Whether she lived, whether she died, whether she had problems for the rest of her life, whatever the issue was, he's brought me to it. Yeah. He's going to get me through it. And I know that's a corny phrase that we all hear.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so true. He will find a way.
But it's hard, mm-hmm. you know. When you think about struggles that you've been through, when you look back on them now, you go, all right, I get it, God. I see what you're trying to teach me. You're a funny guy.
Yep.
Right?
He's got a sense of humor.
But it's hard when you're in it.
You know, you know well about my wreck in 2017.
Yeah.
Couldn't walk for several months.
Yeah.
Was in a chair for, I can't remember, 5 or 6 weeks. I couldn't even get out of a chair. The thing that got me through all of that was I knew it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that all this stuff that happens to us is temporary.
Right.
Nothing's forever except eternity.
That's it. Yeah.
Right. And I want to be the best person I can. I spent too many years being the worst person. I want to be the best person I can, and I can't do that without God.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I mean, I say all the time, tomorrow I'm going to try to be a little bit more like Christ than yesterday.
There's a fork in the road that we meet every morning.
Yeah.
And when we get up, we have a choice. And again, there's that word choice.
Choice.
We have a choice as to whether we want to do the right thing or we want to do the easy thing.
It's a great way to put it, right? It's not the right or wrong. It's the right or easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes the right is easy.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But we have to choose to do the next right thing. And if you ask me how I stay upbeat, it's because I have to choose to do the next right thing. People ask me every day, how you doing? If I was any better, I don't know what I'd do. Yeah. I say that because sometimes I need to hear that.
Yeah, that's generally why I try to say, like, you know, highly favored and blessed. Because I need to remind myself that I am blessed.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not something that I may necessarily feel at the time.
Yeah.
But if I hear it, I have to remind her for me.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, I greatly appreciate the time. And for those listening, you're going to probably hear a lot more from Steve, you know, as we continue on this podcast. But I just want to take the time to thank you for listening. And remember that you can subscribe on any of your podcast platform of choice, whether it's Google or Spotify or iTunes. It doesn't really matter. And if you're interested in talking, or if you just need somebody to pray for you, or there's a subject you want to talk about or you want to hear, just send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.com. Again, this is Rick. Have a nice day.